Lydia would like you and Vertik to start the meeting.
Sometimes you get information and then it changes.
Because she's in there calling and she's not, you know, so we can at least start what's going on.
We know that Sally and Veronica are not coming.
Well, you want that in front of
you? Yeah, right here.
Yeah, okay. That one's dead?
We're assuming that Michael's not going to come because he's not there.
No, no.
And Louise is going to play both off. Quasi is missing. We know that Sally's...
That shock should have let you know that we're going to start in about a minute and a half. So please, those people standing, etc., we're going to start in a minute and a half. Thank you.
Doug will be here. Doug will be late.
Now it's clear that, you know, I have to, but the thing is, that it cannot occur. No, because
there's something about developers has to do with a lack of modest income housing and low income housing.
But then one last point.
In order for it
to but Pasadena can do something about it.
We'll just be
doing political,
no, you can't.
You know,
they like it. It's better for them to talk to the guys so that they know what kind of
they. In the absence of Lydia and Quasi, why don't you take the microphone?
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to start the rousing chorus of Henry VIII.
Doug and Quasi are coming.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. I'm told to start the meeting. I don't know that we have a quorum.
We will have Quasi and Doug are on the way.
It feels like we have a quorum.
No, we don't.
That's the chair invites you.
Almost like we're one.
So you're waiting for a quorum. So
I should be doing this?
No, we shouldn't really wait for a quorum, should we?
Well, we can proceed with discussion. We cannot engage in plenary work.
That's what
right.
I'm talking
just
about.
Start talking about the IPMB meeting.
Well, I'll give a report. I'll give it
can we please have your attention, please?
An ad hoc report on
thank you.
The IPNB meeting.
I'm sending some earplugs. If anybody's
okay, what's this? Whose is this? Whose is this? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, well, as everyone probably knows, the IPNB meeting in Houston was, I think, yesterday or something. Feels like it anyway. Yes, indeed. And it was pretty lively. We covered a lot of topics. Some of you may have downloaded from WBAI.net or from the Pacifica website, the updated version of the bylaws based on the straw polls. Interestingly, we had somebody during the meeting, real time, on a video projection, actually typing in the various proposals and modifications and straw vote results as they were happening. So we ended up with a real time document. It's a mere 28 pages long. But there's a lot of duplication, a lot of strikeouts and so forth, so it's not as long as it looks. For those of you that have been following this, you'll know that there was a lot of controversy, of course, regarding a proposal that was proposed by a few people in New York. Some claim a few more. And half the national board at that time wanted to have that, what's called the constituency model, proceed to lab review. I voted to enable that to happen because half of the board wanted it there. And I really, as we saw in the last meeting, the last lab meeting, I've been really trying to get away from this marginal vote stuff and try to get more into a sense of if a plurality of people want something to go forward, we should discuss it. But ultimately, there needs to be decisions made. And these decisions often have to be hard decisions. I don't think we should just water things down to get consensus and thereby neuter the strength of a given proposal. But what happened here with the so-called constituency model, it was neutered and watered down from a very, very almost stridently identity politic model with 14 categories and so forth to a rather generalized model, but still based on that issue of identity. which is not met with great response, and I'm glad to hear that. Although it should be discussed here, because it does discuss the manner of elections of the local boards, which is one of the things that the local boards are expressly required to weigh in on. And I guess at this point, we should have some discussion. I would like to hear discussion amongst the local advisory board members relative to their nice eyeglasses here, Doug.
Thank you.
Relative to their feelings about those two proposals. I think that's one of the critical issues, but there's some other issues that need to be discussed, and there is an agenda. Now we have a quorum.
We now have a quorum, and we're going to have an agenda, and we're also going to have a sign-up sheet that somebody needs to get started and ask the people.
Done.
Okay, and ask the people not like interrupt during the course of the session. We've had some complaints in recent meetings about that. I do want to comment before we get started on something before I forget. I disagree with Dave in terms of I thought. It is not a valid thing to change your vote just to keep the dialogue going. I do think, however, as I've expressed before and as the KPFA lab just did, is that it's very important to reflect who's participating, like the number that are participating, and reflect who supported this and who supported that. To change your vote then skews it in terms of the opinion as well. It also skews the picture. I think if it's a close vote and you have there, you know, what the vote was and so on and so forth, that then that starts giving you a more accurate picture. I also would like to request I'll reiterate again when we start the meeting, is that I really think, especially for these next couple of IPMB meetings relative to binding votes, that there be a roll call, and that we not just have, especially because we are airing these things, and you have no idea who's voting for what. Okay, so I think we can call the meeting to order. Thank you all very much for coming. I'm really impressed with the turnout on a holiday weekend like this. And we want to get started, and we're going to try to do an agenda. Let's see, what do we have so far? Dawn, election committee announcement, update on IPMB. We can continue with Dave and Leslie and myself. I won't have much to say. And then and then an update on unpaid staff position on lab, Dawn. And then lab membership attendance, is that Tom? Okay. And then we need to get on what we have announced that this meeting is going to be about, which is that the next IPMB meeting, as you know, is next weekend, and we have to get a sense of the lab, which we went to the last IPMB meeting without a sense of the lab. We now have on elections in particular is what they're looking toward. If you listen to the IPMB meeting, you know that a lot of the focus was between something called the hybrid model or a variation thereof and what they're saying is the KPFA model. I happen to think that it's not the appropriate way to frame it because the hybrid model basically addresses one particular issue in the KPFA model. But anyway, nevertheless, there needs to be a sense coming out of here with some straw votes on these things. And so that will be the bulk of this particular lab meeting. But if we can proceed with the proposed agenda, does anyone have anything else to add? Where are we having public comment? I would propose after number 2, 15 minutes, or maybe after the first, well, I guess after those first four items before we get into the election discussion. What?
She suggested at a certain particular time by the clock, so it doesn't get posted.
I would suggest that we do it in relationship to the agenda so that we have public comment before our votes are taken and after discussion amongst the lab has occurred.
Unfortunately, that often translates into 4 hours into the meeting.
Well, point of information, Raphael?
Yes. As the bylaw subcommittee understood this, our panel that presented to you last time participate in the dialogue today. We spent about 4 hours preparing for that yesterday. I just wanted to double check and make sure that we're still participating.
Well, we're going to get into the format. We can get into the format of that right now. We're going to leave here with a straw vote, and we're going to get that early. And that means to me is that what I had said, what I had originally recommended is, first of all, that we take a straw vote, which I think will be a quick sense of the lab, in terms of the hybrid model, which everyone has gotten through email, the constituency model. Basically, it's a hybrid of the constituency model. And the option here is the KPFA model, which, of course, I think that's open to discussion as to the various things that we can address in that format. I'm not through. But since then, we also have gotten a resolution from KPFA Lab, which kind of is a good starting point as well. I think it would be a good move for everyone if everyone saw that. Did everybody get one here?
You have all the
time. Oh, well, that won't work. That I think it would be good if we can. The problem has been, in terms of just functioning and moving forward, is to try to find some uniformity in terms of how we can get opinions and a sense of the labs and other interested party, if there's some left over. Does everybody on the lab have this now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And so, therefore, I am recommending that we start out today with these points and get a straw vote on them. We can get preliminary, we can get input, we can structure it any way we want.
Madam Chair, I don't know. I may be totally isolated on this point, but it would help me to hear public comment, especially vis-a-vis where the work of the Unity, you know, the LA Unity proposal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that not happened.
If I could just finish. So that before we take straw votes, as one board member, it would be helpful to get public comment even before the straw votes to see which of the proposals we're looking at is most consistent with the kind of long, laborious work that was done here in LA.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's the reason that even we're saying before any of our votes, we try to do that as often as possible, is to have the public comment precede that. I'm just trying, what the committee is asking is about the structure. We left, actually, Carl Gunther standing at the podium last time is where we left off.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that we now have specific requests on the part of the IPMB to get a straw vote on these specific two models, the hybrid model and the KPFA model. Even that will have to be addressed because I don't think that's even articulated appropriately. And then also that we can use this as kind of a way to work through things as well, which is this KPFA resolution. Some of the wording I like in it, even though I differ with some of the issues that they voted on. So I'm asking the lab. I'm just proposing some of these things so that the committee knows. So my recommendation is that we take a vote on constituency hybrid, in fact, what I would like to do on that one, because that might be a quick item to do it, and that I want to see if most of the lab knows what the differences is, get some input, and then take a second straw vote. And then move on, and then go to this, which is the KPFA lab. Dave?
Somebody just asked me for one. Anybody?
I have an extra.
Well, we have a copier upstairs, too, on paper in my office, if someone wants to go. Where is Mary Wells? I just saw her.
I could actually go.
Could you?
Copy.
Okay.
You can get. I could go copy some for the listeners.
Okay. And so then what I would recommend is that in addition to the input that we would be getting from Dave that we had several lab meetings ago designated as our point person on bylaws and our representative of the lab lawsuit and the committee and the listeners, is that then we go and continue with some of the general other issues where we left off. Is that okay?
Yeah, what we had prepared for, actually, what we spent 4 hours preparing for was around the elections models. And so
okay, but we're going to use this as the guideline. So whatever...
What is it?
Okay. One is a vote between hybrid, an initial straw vote between... This is what I'm proposing, so if the lab can listen up and decide if you want to do this, okay?
is one, an initial straw vote between the hybrid model and the KPFA model, which I will react to.
Before any discussion?
Yeah. May I finish?
Explain.
Then have a discussion, and then take another straw vote. I want to first see. I mean, it may be that everybody understands it and everybody agrees on it. What I am recommending is that if you are not familiar, if you have not read the constituency model, if you have not read the hybrid model that I sent out to the lab, then that you abstain so that we have a clear picture of who needs, you know, more input on it before making an informed decision. Those of us that have immersed ourselves in this issue can make an informed initial straw vote so that we know where we are. Then go to discussion and then go back to the vote. And so that we can see how much. I personally would not want to see today be a repeat of the IPMB meeting where we spent 2 days discussing a model that did not seem to have a lot of support among the other labs. But and then in terms of the KPFA model, where I'm not suggesting that we're taking the KPFA model as is. I am saying that this is just a mechanism to get the constituency model or the hybrid model as it exists right now off the table so that then we can have a dialogue around what to do regarding the elections. Okay. And we can also, like, respond, in essence, because the labs have to start communicating, and you have to have the same piece of paper. All the labs right now have the KPFA resolution, and I'm saying we can go through it, and that can be, like, also the setup for the input of the committee.
How do people feel about this? This is just a proposal. It is not a mandate.
Works for me.
Dave? Dave is thinking.
He said yes.
No, Adelson.
How you guys want to do the business is up to you. I think that works.
Okay.
Anything else?
Unless
is there any way that we can allow for some discussion of the hybrid model? Because I haven't heard from the listeners on this at all, and I'm feeling.
No, Leslie, I'm saying discussion. I said first take a straw vote. I just want to see. I never know what my lab thinks. And I'm saying, let's see. Maybe everyone will abstain. And then I know no one has even read it, right? Or three of us have read it. And then we go to public comment to get input on the high. We take a second straw vote.
All right.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I don't know what the point of the first draw vote is, but that's okay.
Are you going to start reading to it right now?
No, we're doing the agenda right now. But first I wanted to see, does that sound reasonable? Because the subcommittee wanted to know how we were going to proceed.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Well, what did the straw vote mean? Let's imagine that we...
Let's not imagine. Let's just take it. Let's get on with it.
Let's move to the agenda.
If you choose one of these two models, what does that mean in terms of the subsequent discussion about modifying one of
the only purpose of the straw vote is to get, if the constituency model has no support, is to get it off the table. It is a separate vote.
Each is going to be considered separately?
Just let it do it. Watch how this is going to do. Absolutely. We're going to consider all of the input from all of the models. That's why I said I thought it was framed poorly by the national chair that way, as if those are the two choices, because she subsequently clarified that there are other choices. It's only framed this way to deal with the constituency model. That's all. Okay?
Well, it's not going to be a between vote.
No, it's only the way that we're doing it, and the KPFA model becomes a point of conversation because it is in the settlement it says it's a starting point. So it's all of our starting points, regardless of which model we end up with, okay? So everybody just, like, chill. So are we okay on the board with that? Okay, so let's start with Don's election.
Do you have something else
on the agenda?
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to move lab member attendance up to one get rid of it very quickly.
Okay, so any objections to that?
None.
Okay, and then anything else? So if we have... Are we okay with the agenda? No objections? No more objections?
Yeah.
Additions?
I
okay.
Think so.
Then Tom.
Yes, we had attempted to contact Luis, and we have not been able to. He's missed a considerable amount of meetings, and it is now time to have a vote on that.
Yes.
Okay. So all those in favor of, and I do want to update that. I have left him several voicemails, and I think he hasn't responded to you either, has he? Yeah. So there have been two LAM members that have, and so he hasn't responded whether he wants to stay on or anything. They were complete voicemails, just so it's a matter of record that we did make every effort.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Who is he? Because I've never met him. And I don't know.
Precisely the point.
I really want to know who the right vote.
I know. I think I know how you should vote on.
I have a copy of his book in the office, but he is a youth organizer, and that's what takes up all of his time, and he organizes like 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you have someone that's that.
So does he want to be on the LAM?
Well, he hasn't responded to any of my phone calls, so I have to, and I left him a specific phone call saying what the sentiment on the LAM was and that we needed to have some resolution to it, so there was no response, so I don't know that we have
Madam
a choice.
Chair. Yeah, I would just like to pay tribute to Luis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
If there was anyone in our community that we should have on the LAM, Luis reflects that.
That's right.
And we've been extremely tolerant. I have his book in our office. We sell and give it away. He's deeply committed to the community, so much so that it takes about 25 of the 24 hours a day. So in no way, I mean, most of us who probably will vote to relieve him of this added stress and strain of being on a LAM that he can't attend, most of us do so with deep regret, because Luis is exactly the kind of person that we should have here. And it's deeply regrettable that he simply does not have the time to serve. And when I see him next time, I'm going to tell him that we're glad that he's there in his community, working at the base of his community with youth. And Ami and others know fully that this is like a very sad vote, really.
And I want to note, too, that Luis came on the board at a time when coming on to the local advisory board was the opposite of gaining any kind of influence or power, because it meant you were banned from the station. And so he came in and he did the work, and he came to the meetings, even though they were hard work and boring, and there was no sexy, you know, power plays and opportunities for him at that time. So I think he deserves a great deal of respect, and he attended lots of meetings, so I don't think it should be suggested that he was in any way lax.
Okay, so can we go to a vote, please?
What is this community?
Or can someone, he moved, did anybody second?
East Los Angeles, I would say.
I'll second.
And Dave seconds. Okay, now we have to, we really have to limit just spontaneous comments from the audience.
Yeah.
Please, we'll never get through it if we don't do that. Okay, so all those in favor?
Oh.
All those opposed? All those abstaining?
Three abstentions.
Okay. Okay, so now it will also, like a big challenge is having a quorum. That's why we started late today. It continues to be a challenge, so this will help in that regard. Although, ultimately, then we did have more than we needed. And I see from the KPFA model that they also only had a quorum by one. So it is a challenge all the way around. So if we can move on to Don's election announcement.
Yeah.
And here's the...
This is... Can I speak loudly and maybe not use the microphone?
You
can hear me.
Go ahead.
I always say...
I think it's not...
Oh.
It's better.
No, I can hold it if I have to use it. This is just a quick report. It comes out of inquiries from listeners, and I think this information will clarify. There has been questions about the Elections Committee, which actually has formed and has had, I would call them more informal meetings rather than public meetings. And there's an explanation now for that. Some of us who had been pushing the election committee process were under the impression that we were pretty much obligated to have elections by January of 2003. Now I have information that with the agreement of the judge, a waiver to the court decision could be acquired that would allow, you know, elections to be as late as April or May.
This is not good in many ways because it postpones the status of the local advisory board or whatever it is called under the new bylaws. It postpones the elected status of that board. But it's because the process is simply taking much, much longer than we thought. There have been people looking at elections. My own view is in the not-too-distant future, we should call a meeting of people who are simply interested in that process, even if we do not know what the ultimate process is. For instance, some have said, well, technical people around software and so on don't want to meet because they don't know what the process is, and it would be kind of spinning wheels. But it seems to me that maybe in maybe late December or mid-December, we could have a public meeting, as they have called in Berkeley,
Hello.
And have people come together Yeah. who want to just simply be on the ground and ready to move when we know what that process is going to be. So I'm just going to alert the listener sponsors that there will be a call for a meeting. I don't want to chair it, but I may call it just to bring people together like Casey Peters and others who have technical knowledge, so that we kind of even just get to know each other and begin the process for a consolidated election committee in Los Angeles.
Yes, and I want to stress that the first phase of the election committee that was meeting and so forth did that whole consulta process of getting forms. We used the same KPFA model of the questionnaire and added some questions and did a few community meetings and got some input. That was months ago. And then in terms of the technical things that we've spoken to David Green, who did the KPFA elections, kind of did some overseeing of that process, and so did the nonprofit with which he works that specializes in elections. He also helped develop the software that we would be, if we were to go to that model, that could be easily modified and incorporated. And then issues of budget, of course, which in our instance may be more or less or the same as theirs, which was $10,000. And that was based on their mailing mostly, because the time of everyone on the committee was free, was donated, and the computers they got on loan. So that would be something that our technical people would have to be doing, that kind of an outreach, so we get the right kind of computers on loan, if we can get them on loan, to facilitate that. So those are only the preliminary things that have been discussed, but a lot of people just felt that unless we know what the model is going to look like, that it would be kind of spinning the wheels. Dave?
I don't know if this is appropriate now, but given that you have that time, and given that I assume the station is going to be doing some mailing to listeners, would it be possible to put an insert in that mailing to try and get, A, an idea of what people want, and, B, what our response rate might be? Maybe this is not the time to talk about it, but...
Well, there was some talk at the IPMB meeting, actually, about even doing the election ballot with, you know, some of the mailings to save money or whatever, but... You know, that's one of the things that would have to be discussed. We've also spoken extensively to Terry Guy, and we do know that the person that was going to be leaving that department is staying on. So they have a full department now to deal with all of, like, the new people, including, which I kept stressing, was an ongoing need in subscriptions for what is going to come to bear on them in terms of determining who is eligible, at least by virtue of the subscription.
I appreciate this. This is the kind of report back I think that maybe was. Thank you. I really appreciate the chair's comments, and I actually there's very little disagreement here. The only thing is, I think these kinds of report backs are really helpful, because some were laboring under the misconception that we might be trying to go to an election in January or February. And people are saying to me, oh, no way. But that information is not out, I think, in the community. There is a lot of technical... I mean, I'm just going to make one comment here, which I've been investigating a bit. In Berkeley, you could vote by paper ballot, but you could also get a coded number that allowed you to vote by internet using your secret PIN. And the minute you use that,
My understanding is that invalidated them in paper ballot or an additional. So there are ways that we could reach larger numbers, but we're going to have the technical support, because you can't actually vote on the internet if you have that authorization code number. And that's the kind of thing that technical support staff is going to have to help us with a lot.
Is it a point of clarification only?
A point of information.
Uh-huh. Very, 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 very brief. And if it doesn't work, we don't take any more from you. If it doesn't work for me.
No,
go ahead.
Actually, it goes to the lab member first.
I just simply wanted to point out that it isn't just a technical nature or people that are interested. We need to educate not only the lab itself on the various voting methodologies, but the public that might be interested, so that when we talk about cumulative or STV or whatnot. And I just want to just remind the chair that she has a video. We were actually prepared to run some of that video at the last lab meeting, but we didn't get through all of our points.
I have a video?
Yes, you do. I have other copies of it, so we can show the video on what STV voting means, what it means. And I think Quasi has a copy of the video, too.
Yeah, I mean, the election process is going to be a very lengthy one, a lengthy educational process.
One of the things this year has been about is trying to get a folio out to our listener audience. And in November of 2000, there was one of the few democracies of the Western world had a completely paper ballot for their national election, which was Canada. No one's ever sent agents in to watch their election process and see if it's valid or not. And I would really like to see the folio published at least three times before the election so that our listener audience can see what's going to happen when they get their paper ballots.
Okay, so now, I'm sorry.
I will also mention that there's a lot of people here with a lot of union experience where we have elections frequently, and we can also add lots of expertise.
Absolutely. Okay, if we can move on to the update on the IPMB meeting. Where do you go? Okay. Okay, let's move on.
He did it?
That was like the whole thing? Well, we really didn't. Did you have any updates on the IPMB meeting?
Just they did nothing that we proposed, with the exception of the program council on the national level.
And that Dave wasted $20,000.
Okay, let's not have these side comments, please.
And so, positive side comments.
No side comments. Please sign up. Okay, then let's move on to number four: update on unpaid staff position on lab. Don White.
This is a real quick item. I think the lab understands that.
Louder.
Excuse me. Okay, see, when I used the mic, I just didn't speak as loud. So the lab is, I think, correctly under the impression that Fidel Rodriguez at the station is kind of our contact for establishing the voting constituency for the unpaid staff position on this lab. I'm just wondering if there's any update on the process of that. I got a couple calls from people interested in, like, a timeline. What does Fidel think is the timeline and how this will be eventually carried out?
I could answer that. Yeah. Or do you want to, when would be a time where I could answer that?
Yeah, this is the time.
Yeah,
come on up.
So initially there was a timeline where December 4th we were going to have a meeting to talk with Casey Peters about different ways to elect and do outreach and all this stuff, and it just really felt that was just dragging. I mean, you know, come on. When we have a radio station, we have emails and all this stuff, we can have this process a lot more, you know, condensed. We can work faster and get the voting member, the unpaid staff, on and get them up to speed because, you know, they want to be here and they're understanding that now there's a place for them. And so what we've done is that we've had a couple meetings with Casey. We've decided that we are working on a paper ballot in all of the boxes at KPFK. We are assembling a volunteer list based on the board operators, based on people that work in subscriptions around the station, plus everybody that has a volunteer that comes in and works with programmers. They have been outreached to please send in their emails, et cetera, to Fidel, so that we compile a list around there. We've been doing our best to do this. But what's been going on, which is, you know, I understand the rigor and everything that's called for in doing these kind of elections, but what we're coming across is that the rigor that's being asked of us to try and get everybody wrangled to come in to participate in this stuff is being held at a higher standard than the decision-making process that we make, you know, every month or week in the lab process. Is this, you know, it's a much smaller group that actually makes decisions, but no person is not unturned, that there aren't going to be any complaints, and that is elongating the process. But as we know, that is impossible. Some people just aren't there. They're just not into it. They are not, you know, necessarily interested. So what we're doing is that we are doing our best in making outreach to every person, and we want everybody to know that next week, December 4th, we are to have a general nominating and voting meeting.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt, but there's three cars blocking the end. There's a red Toyota truck.
Red Toyota truck.
Mercury and a Pacer and an Acura. It's the three people on the inner, that parked in the inner row. I'll move my truck. Thank you.
And I moved my car up so someone can pull
up. I have a question. The last meeting that I went, the nomination committee meeting, the question that... was a problem was how do we define who is a volunteer? Or unpaid staff, actually, right. Not a volunteer.
Yes.
So did you guys reach some sort of a conclusion on that?
Yes. What it is that consistency is a part of it. We saw that individuals that came in during the fund drive that worked the phones, that didn't count.
Right.
So the individuals that work with programmers that come out and help in subscriptions, like Doug, who's a maniac, that is, you know, all over the station and doing a volunteer work. The individuals that are consistently there, they're in a sense, they're an extension of staff, and they're board operators, and so we are able to define that. We have that definition. We have outreach going on. Next week, December 4th, we are hopefully going to be at the Carrison Center, hopefully a nice large space where we're going to have open nominations and an election there for the non-paid volunteer staff member to be with you by your next lab meeting.
Evan, how many people do you think will be involved?
We have we are hoping for over 100 people to show up. That's who's really, you know, that's the backbone of the core members of the volunteers. We're hoping for that turnout, but we got to go with what we get. And we've been rattling the cage. We've been, you know, word of mouth, please spread it amongst you. December 4th, Fidel will have that thing. But the idea is that we just want to get it done. And we just want to move ahead. And
Evan, you want to pass the microphone to Sarah because I know she's also been involved.
Yeah, I've been trying to also, I'm with Enfoque Latino. And one of the first things that we brought up to the first meeting organized by Christy Lomax from what is the
Restless
show?
Soul.
I forgot the show. Restless Soul, thank you. Is that we felt in Enfoque Latino, which is a collective, that before putting a candidate forward, we needed to find out the points of agreement among the programmers that we need, that this representative is going to bring to the lab. Because otherwise, we felt that it was kind of reverse process. That first we're going to choose somebody, and then what if that person is not, doesn't feel that the interest of everybody, to represent the interests of all the programmers. So we have been bringing this, you know, up. And as a matter of fact, we've been trying to attend to the meetings, but two of those meetings were in days and times that are very hard for most people to attend. So as a result, it's only been from 7 to 15 people. Out of, we believe there is about 100 programmers, at least, in the station right now that are volunteer, plus all the other volunteers. So we kind of really want to have a representative, but we don't think that it's imperative to have somebody at this point in the lab if we don't have the support of most of the programmers.
And for whatever reason, like I told to, I talked to Fidel last week, and he told me he only had 8 volunteers. And as a matter of fact, he passed some the list of the contacts for programmers and volunteers that he's working with. And he has 80-some numbers, 80-some names for programmers that are, some of them are grown, like Mark Cooper is still there. I'm not sure.
He's still,
is he a volunteer programmer?
Volunteer.
Is he a volunteer programmer? Okay, what about Amy Woodman? Is she a volunteer programmer?
Yeah,
I mean, there is a lot of the people, for instance, from indie media, from what is that, the alternative rate. I think David is there, but there is a lot of people missing from that list.
Folks, I'm sorry, I cannot hear the speaker because there are too many conversations going on.
And there is also, the list is from back in 2001. So we don't know how the list, how accurate is it. He say he believes there is about 80 programmers on that. We've been communicating through a email list or that is called programmers at KPFK, and we kind of want to know if everybody's there. But how should we do this? I mean, should we, you know, keep going even though we only have 6 or 7 programmers that are really going, you know, to those meetings, and most of the volunteers are not informed.
Okay, look, now it's this conversation is getting like really.
I want to respond to that.
This is not going to become. Let me say this, okay? The only thing that we have as lab, okay, is what we have already read out of the lab criteria, which is the 5 hours, etc. The dynamic you guys are discussing, and this is starting to become a debate, needs to be worked out internally with the station, with Fidel. That's an internal dynamic within the station as to how to pick your unpaid staff beyond that. This information is really good, but clearly this is going to become like a larger discussion. If you want to discuss it beyond right now, we had heard one from each of you. Happy to hear responses, but then she's going to have to respond to you. That we ask that you wait till later in the program, and we'll see if we can move on that, okay?
Lydia,
because we really have to get on to business.
I just want to make a comment, not on one side or the other. Just wanted to remind them in the process of the election, you know, because we are going to go through this process in different constituencies, such as listeners. We have, I was reading somewhere that we have 18,000 listeners. Sarah, Evan, I'm sorry, it's for you both.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We have like 18,000 listeners.
Sponsors.
I'm sure in the
sponsors.
Sponsors. I'm sorry. Yeah.
We have a million.
I take it back. Yeah, millions of listeners. I'm sorry. Those who are eligible to vote. However, we know and that not more than usually 20 to maximum 40% of the eligible people who are, you know, who can place a vote, who can participate, will participate. That, and that's a fact that we have to live with. However, we cannot hold up the election because not everybody who can participate is participating. And the thing is, you need to give enough notice. But if people don't participate, that cannot stop you from having representation, and I think that's the issue. People need to be represented, each constituency, and for every election, I think that's what we need to pay attention to.
Notice and the opportunity to be heard.
I'd also like to comment, you know, it may be possible for you all to agree on an interim rep, you know, which, you know, we've done that a lot on the lab, you know, until such time that you can get to a point that you can have the kind of process that everyone is satisfied with.
Who? We didn't see them.
Several people have mentioned that they were going to speak to a former staff person at KPFK who was in charge of the volunteer list, and I really would like a report of that. I don't know if it's people in the audience or on the lab, but I need to have a report on that because that there was a list that existed. So somebody let me know what's going on.
I talked to Gail about that,
And he basically says he knows nothing of the list. There was no sabotage in any way coming from his point of view, and that if there was any kind of hearsay going around about an employee destroying a list on the way out, that you really have to back it up, or else it's really not fair to say anything with any innuendo around sabotage on the way out.
Okay, now, back on point.
I never mentioned the word sabotage.
Back on point.
Don't promote it yourself.
Back on point. Okay, is that one of the things, and this is not a formal recommendation from the lab, but one of the things that we recommended at the IPMB in relation to elections is to have a minimum quorum. This is for the general elections we're going to have for the listenerships, so that I disagree that simply informing people is sufficient and then you're satisfied with having a dozen people. In terms of I'm talking about the big elections. What we are recommending for the big elections is to, let's say, have a 10% minimum participation, which KPFA has. But then what we're recommending further is that if after 30 days of voting you do not have that 10%, that the election period is extended until you get that 10%. So it may be something that you may wish to incorporate where eligible voters, then we would like to put in, and you can do it as low as you want. I'm not even like recommending that, but that you have a minimum quorum that you all feel comfortable with, and then say the voting will continue until we meet that threshold, which may be extending it a day or two or whatever, or making phone calls to more people, whatever that takes. Because I think that's what we're going to have to do in order to get more listeners involved. I don't think it's good for us to become complacent and just say, you know, whoever does. Some people don't participate because perhaps the profile of the candidates is so poor that they're not motivated to participate. A whole host of reasons why people end up not voting. Most of us in general elections don't necessarily vote. And sometimes we do only because there's a proposition on there or whatever. So until we get the listeners more involved, it's going to take a lot of effort and outreach on our part to do so. So I do personally recommend that. Okay, if we can...
One last point.
Sure.
I agree that the process and the integrity and the constituency really has to be determined. I absolutely agree that the process, the constituency, the integrity of this has to be really established by the unpaid staff. But it is, I think, also a responsibility of the lab to monitor this, to make sure that we're fully informed. So I'm not going to make a motion, but I would suggest that that the chair appoint two lab members just to stay in touch with Fidel, and to stay in touch with Sarah, and to stay in touch with Evan, so that the lab is fully aware of what is going on. Now, I could make a motion, but I just would like to have someone identified here, because we seem to have this come up at lab meetings, but between lab meetings, we don't have kind of an inflow of information. I'm wondering if the chair, without a motion, would like to just choose two people to kind of stay on top.
I would like to choose you.
I decline. No. Well, and the second person.
I would do it.
We need like two people. We should have two people to have some done.
Two.
I happened to be there when Fidel was given the task. He looked like he'd been asked to bell the cat. He did look kind of overwhelmed. I definitely disagree with Don. I think they're doing a fine job. Fidel's doing a fine job.
No, he means.
But we just need to know what the job he's doing
is.
That's
not what he was talking about.
I was not criticizing Fidel.
Well, we could also have Fidel come and himself report to the lab.
That would be great.
That makes life a lot easier. I do need to answer Eben. Eben, I was not suggesting anything at all. The reason being is that when I save things on my computer, if a new person comes on, they don't know where it's been stored, it's very difficult. All I was asking, has anyone spoken to him, and did we get any information? That's all I was asking.
Okay, so if we can move on to, I think we're at public comment, if I'm not mistaken.
So 15 minutes of public comment, and who has the list?
Marla has it.
15 minutes only.
Wow. Hold on.
Comment on what?
This is only for these first four agenda items.
Oh.
If we don't, we can carry it over to when we get into the elections. Do you want to? Oh, no, you have a list.
We've got 22 people, 23. 23 people would like
okay.
to speak.
So there'll be 90 seconds per person, and then we can take the rest of the next period. We've got four different comment periods.
Okay, who are they? Can we? Yes, for these points, and then we're going to go into election.
Can you call out the first five?
The last 30 minutes are reserved for anything.
For which points? Say the points again.
Okay, the points are Don's election announcement, so the committee. Update on the IPMB meeting, update on unpaid staff positions, and lab membership attendance.
People who want to comment, nobody really knows what's going on here.
Okay. Well, people who have been to the previous meetings, do we need to? Leslie, would you like to recap what our procedures are?
Sure. The procedures are that we have two 15-minute internal comment periods and a half hour at the end of the meeting. Each speaker speaks for 90 minutes.
They typically do, yes, but not to post this.
In Cuba.
Leslie,
three 15-minute periods, and each speaker speaks for a minute and a half.
It seems like 90 minutes. That's
no, not at all. And that we take a list ahead of time, which I believe Myla has done, and every speaker speaks once in each comment period.
And then we're going to be all over the board. That's what we reserve the 30 minutes. So the logic being that we go through the agenda, and that before we take a binding vote on anything, is that we get some listener comments. So we've been trying to make the 15-minute period on that, although the lab member attendance, I don't know if we have. So, but if you would like to, we can add that 15 minutes to the next period of time, because the election. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's fine. But you do have something? Okay, so we have one person.
Okay.
Are you on the... Okay.
Go ahead. Marty suggests that since we're going to talk about elections next, we let people comment before that also.
No. I want to take the straw vote, and then we'll go.
I'm going to do the timing.
Thank you. Okay, quick clarification. All right, so what we decide with Casey Peters, because maybe this will allay some of the fears around having a non-paid representative that doesn't, represent all the programmers. The idea is that we sent out ballots this week in the mailboxes, in emails. Also, I got a portion of the 80 names that is to call, and I'm helping call and rally these individuals for them to show up next Wednesday. Though we'll have an open nomination and voting, we will keep the ballots open through Friday, and we'll count them all up to the following Friday. So Wednesday the 4th, the voting stays open. Monday, and we'll count the next Friday with the help of Casey Peters and Gabrielle, who works in tallying. And so we'll have people there. We'll have ballots that are assigned numbers. The whole list we have gets assigned numbers, three digits. And so we are doing the cross between both of those, that once you vote and that number is taken, that vote is secured. Both in a ballot and email form, and the voting will be open. So there'll be plenty of time. And also at the meeting, that's when the people are going to be able to stand up, and we're going to have open discussion on concerns. There is a lot that has to be done now. I'm sure we'll be able to, assess all the issues and get going.
Fine. And point of clarification to Quasi, we've never taken an interim position on anybody, not staff or unpaid.
Next comment.
Okay. Are you on the list? Are you on the list?
I'm on the list and I'm topic.
Okay. Wait.
No. calling them out of order, aren't you?
Well, the other people are deferring. Everybody else is deferring to elections. And then cross them off.
The last comment about the elections, I want to comment out of my experience in the past. It really helps to have people informed as to what the either as a voter or what the response. What they're voting for. Yes. Certain motivation by saying there's going to be a meeting. Who cares? But the meeting will deal with this, 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 and this. In short, the key thing to any election process is background as to what is involved. Responsibilities, duties, obligations, person can contribute. If you let you do that, merely meeting come to elect, you're not going to get many people to come. So I urge that. It, before you have the meeting, you send out in your announcements this kind of informational background and motivation, as well as explaining an
okay. Now we're moving on to elections, and here's the format that we didn't have any opposition to. Everyone has got the hybrid model, which is based on the original constituency model coming out of New York. And so those people, I really want to stress, if you are unclear, please abstain, because I'm just trying to get a sense. Need on this issue before we go to a final straw vote. Right now, it's not even a binding straw vote, okay? It's a preliminary vote. So how many people understand the hybrid model, the constituency? Where's Farah?
Outside.
She went outside to smoke.
She
smoke? Is she smoking? She's smoking?
Just number one.
Okay.
Number one.
She understands it. She did her homework.
Right?
What, did the KPFA lab?
No, I'm not
going. Okay, so that you understand the hybrid model, the constituency model. Is someone calling Farah? Can someone call Farah to tell her I need her to?
Farah?
I know she does. She told me but, she's done her homework.
Okay. And because then what I just want is then how many are in favor, how many are against, and how many are abstaining. Again, I stress, if you don't know what it is, please abstain. And this is just to get a sense. She's almost here.
You know,
okay, this is the constituency. Roger, I've already spoken to Roger briefly. Is there something else?
Yes,
but
point of information. Are lab members aware that Diamond Gold, who presented that model at the IPNB, has made some changes and withdrawn?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Or well, they're not all aware that she's withdrawn, but they are aware of the changes. She sent that out to Leslie Kagan, and we distributed it to the lab.
Great.
But anyway, okay, so again, the question is, everyone who votes in favor of or against the hybrid model, that they've read enough on the constituency model and what came out of that, which was this new hybrid model. So the movers of the constituency model deferred to the hybrid model.
and everybody's gotten that on email at the very least. So if you are if you're familiar enough to just give me a sense right now of how many people are in favor of the hybrid model, please raise your hand. Or constituency model. Okay, all those opposed? 1, 2, 3. Four, five, and all those abstaining. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's very close. 5.
Okay.
So how many opposed?
5. Could I see the opposed?
5 opposed, 5
on this
abstaining.
Side? I didn't get them.
And 0.
You're opposed? Was there anybody else on this side?
I'm going to repeat
Tom?
What I heard.
There's one more person who opposed.
This is important information. Question. Is that... whether you want to consider discussing it or whether you're for
we just determines how much discussion we're going to have on it. We're going to obviously, if half of the lab abstained, then it's important to have some discussion about this. So we would, well, yeah, that was the point. Okay, and then we will go to a real straw vote after people feel adequately informed on the hybrid model. Okay, so opening it up. Dave Adelson, do you have anything?
Almost.
Dave Fertig?
Yeah, I
got lots to say, but nothing to
me. I think it's important that five members are abstaining. We need to consider what the terms of the constituency model are before abstaining. Nonetheless, it's a substantial proportion. And what concerns me is that the constituency model basically requires that people segregate themselves within the context of a political process, identifying themselves by a self-designation relative to race, national origin, gender, and so forth. And I think that is not only impractical and not only divisive, I think it's fundamentally undemocratic, because what it does is what so many people tend to do, and that is it divides us instead of brings us together. I agree that there needs to be means by which obtain broad diversity on the boards. This, I think, is the opposite of that. It identifies instead of unites, and I'm against it vehemently.
But I think that people should understand what it comes out of, and it comes out of New York, where they do have a majority running the station of African Americans, and there are other groups that feel that there hasn't been enough diversity as such. So this what this was born out of. So they felt that their solution originally, this is in the constituency model, would be like two of this and two of that and da da da, the very groups. And then they had which was more modified. It did away with some of the internal voting requirements for it, and became a little bit more palatable for people in general. And then, but Donna Gould seems to have or has said, I guess, to others, not to me directly. She did call me, but didn't leave the phone. Also felt that she needed to back off. She felt somewhat uninformed in the way that it was misused. She was really just representing something for New York, not something for the nation to use. That say, okay, if you're doing away, if you're voting against that, that means that you're voting against diversity, because there are other possibilities for guaranteeing I personally would like to know, and I... this, whether there is some way that we can come up with some language that would allow for the various signal areas to develop their own means of reaching that diversity, even if we establish a minimum. But then that diversity mechanism, so that if New York really were to get a majority, which I don't think that they do, for their model, and they wanted to implement that, they could. But the example that I used at the IPMB meeting is that since I have been on the board and we have been doing outreach, I personally have done outreach to several Asian Pacific Islanders, for example, who, because of the nature of the politics of most of that constituency in Southern California, that they are very overwhelmed activists. The